Welcome to the Wiley Manager Podcast, your place for just-in-time management advice on the web at wileymanager.com. All right, welcome to another Wiley Manager Podcast. And Bob, your topic for today is preparing to do interviews.
Preparing for interviews. This is a two-parter, Jed. We're going to talk about preparing for the interview this week, and then next week we're going to talk about actually conducting the interview. We've previously done things like this all together, but there's just too much to talk about.
Such a large topic. Before we get to that, though, Bob, let's touch base with some what we've been calling viewer mail.
Yes.
And this week's version, we're welcoming some new Facebook friends that have hooked up with us on our Facebook page. So welcome to the Facebook friends. Jeff Brockman, Kelly McAllister Robinson, Allison Griffin Ferrick, Mike. Modesma, Amanda Heck Hazlett. So thanks for checking us out on our Facebook page. And by all means, if you haven't found us there, please go do so. And you can interact with us there. Ask us some questions. Let us know what's on your mind. What podcasts would you like to hear us tackle?
Right on it. And just to clarify, Jed, we haven't hooked up with these people. We merely are friends with them on Facebook. It's a platonic relationship.
This is true. It's all legit.
Yeah.
All right, why don't you walk us through the agenda for today's podcast?
Yeah, sure. Today we're going to talk about, again, the preparation for interviews is a very important process that all managers have to go through, right? So we're going to talk about what you need to do in advance. There's a variety of things. And then again, in the next podcast, we're going to talk more specifically about the interview itself. So that's where we're going.
There you go. All right. Why don't we start off with why we worry about this in the first place? Why'd we choose this topic to chat about?
Well, Jed, you know what? It all happens in advance, man. If you walk in and you try to wing these things, they're going to go horribly wrong for you. So a lot of the things that we have to do in advance are really going to make sure that we do this thing well. When we don't do them well, we can end up getting ourselves into an awful lot of trouble. So we overstate it a little bit and say about going to jail, right? So you need to do good interviews to stay out of jail. That might be overstated a little bit. Nevertheless, you can get yourself into some trouble if you don't try to do these things well in most jurisdictions.
Indeed.
It's also a corporate reputation issue, right? So if you end up interviewing people poorly, then word gets out, right? It just doesn't reflect on you, doesn't reflect well on you, your company, or the company's brand, right? And, in sports, they've got this analogy about how you win it in the draft. Well, it couldn't be more true for business as well, right? So, if you can get good people on the front door, then you stand a much better chance of competing well as an organization. And finally, it's expensive when people leave, Jed. You know, we've talked about this before, right? Somebody walks out your front door. Journal of Comp and Ben pegs that at 1.5 to 2.5 times annual salary. So
a poor hire can hurt you in many ways from a cost perspective, right?
It can indeed.
All right, so this one we may have overstated about staying out of jail.
Yes.
Tell me more.
Well, it depends where, what jurisdiction that governs the laws in which you operate as a company. But in most of our listening area, which is North America, Western Europe, Australia, and New Zealand, the labor laws are all reasonably similar insofar as if you say, hey, you know what, Jed, I need you to hire me somebody, and I only want you to hire somebody with blonde hair and blue eyes, you're going to get yourself into trouble.
Yes, you will. And right? only the boys. We don't hire any girls.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we don't want any girls working for us. So neither you nor I are labor lawyers, but I think it's safe to say that, that's the most obvious one. Stay away from race or gender or skin color, religious beliefs. And the thing you have to be careful of is sometimes you can get into this without even all of a sudden you're wading in that pool and you don't even know, right?
You mean to, yeah.
So you say, well, that's an interesting name. You must be Russian. Right? It's off base. Or what year did you graduate from high school? Right? You just can't do these things. So again, that's a whole other podcast in and of itself, but just be really careful that you're not touching on any of the things. And again, if you're following along in the video, we've got a list of things you shouldn't talk about there. And also back at Wiley Manager website, we've got a list of bad interview questions. So all these ones would fall in there.
No kidding.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll move on from there and talk a bit about the actual preparation for the interview.
What's that weird thing on your face? Sorry, I'm easily distracted. The first thing you need to do when you're interviewing is really having some idea of what you're interviewing for. So it's amazing how many people walk into a job interview and they want to look into the whites of somebody's eyes and say, do I like this person? And, do I think I can work with them? Well, that's using your intuition as a recruiting tool. Not such a bad thing. Your intuition's a good tool to use, but if it's the only tool in your box, you're going to have a problem. Yes. So what we're suggesting is that you premeditate some of this stuff. And what you need to do is you need to write a job description for the position for which you're hiring. So if you don't have one, or you say, well, the HR people never get that done for me, don't wait for them. Do it yourself. Okay.
You're going to know the job better than the HR people anyways. So, yeah. You know, this person's, or the job's been reporting to you for a while. You're going to know more of the ins and outs than the HR person will.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. I mean, as we like to say here, Jed, HR is far too important to be left to HR people. So
indeed.
Yeah. So, you need to know what skills you're looking for, what knowledge you want, what experience you're looking for this position to have. Where's this person going to fit inside your corporate culture, whatever that may be. Okay. So what attitudes and what outlooks are you looking for? But be very careful with those things, because you need to know what you're testing for. And is there a way to test that? Right. So one that is overused is that we want somebody with an entrepreneurial spirit.
Right.
Okay, well, what does that mean, right, in your organization, right?
The other thing I would offer there, too, is a little bit of diversity doesn't hurt either, right? So
yeah.
If you're looking for this corporate fit, you don't want everybody to fit into this one particular box. You know, coloring outside the edges as far from a diversity perspective can really add value to your team.
Yeah, yeah, you bet. And people forget that you know, in some cases, you know, and so if you're working for an airline, you're working for Southwest Airlines, say.
Yep.
So if you want your ticket agents, the people up front, well, maybe you do want them to have a happy-go-lucky entrepreneurial sort of attitude. The guy servicing the plane or the pilot, or the pilot, I don't want the pilot to be entrepreneurial, okay? If I'm flying on that plane, I want that guy to be in compliance.
Just right? Follow the rules, please.
Yeah, I don't want him being too creative at, 39,000 feet. Hey, we're going to do a shoulder roll now and see what happens, right? So not my idea of a good time. So again, figure out what it means and how are you going to be able to test for that inside of an interview. Make sure that you have realistic expectations. So it's really nice if you lay all these things out. That's what your perfect candidate looks like. Your perfect candidate probably doesn't exist, right? So let's just try to figure out that, you know, there's especially the more higher skilled person that you're looking for, the shallower the pool from which you're going to be able to draw. So make sure you have realistic expectations. If you've had a vacancy outstanding for 9 or 12 months, you may want to look at what standards you've set for yourself.
Yeah, you might just have to be a bit more realistic.
Yeah, you betcha.
All right, cool. What about, so we're getting some of this stuff prepared in advance from job interviews and figuring out what it is that we're looking for. Now I got resumes flooding in now, Bob.
Yep.
Walk me through that process.
Well, hopefully you got all kinds of resumes. So that's the idea. You've got a big stack of CVs on your desk and you figure out, okay, well, what do I do with these, right? And a lot of times people, you know, take them home at night and crack open a bottle of wine and start reading through them and sort them into two piles, right?
Yeah.
Not the best process in the world, right? So the wine part's actually okay. It's the sorting into two separate piles. What you need to do is that you need to put together a criteria. Okay. So what am I looking for in a resume? When you get a resume, really only it tells you is about people's education and experience. You can't really learn a whole lot else from the resume. You learn a little maybe from the cover letter. Right. But
and a well-written resume might give you some ideas to what they've accomplished, not only what jobs they've held, but what they accomplished while they're in those jobs.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing I can tell you, too, if somebody sends you a resume full of spelling error and grammar errors, well, that one you can just put in a pile over there that, you know, is going to end up in a round bin. Right.
Yeah.
Because if they don't care enough to get that right, they're probably not going to be all that good at whatever you want them to do. So but you need to score and rank these resumes. So, again, I've put a tool on the web where that'll help you do it. I've got an Excel spreadsheet that I've used previously that works quite well. So you actually give every resume a score, right? And so then what you do is you put them at your highest score to your lowest. You sort of put them in order. Now, that doesn't mean you hire the person with the top score on the resume. It means that's the first person you call for more follow-up.
Yeah, this is your first attempt at paring down your 100 people that applied for the job to the 10 that you're now going to go maybe do a bit of a phone interview with.
Right. Yeah, you take the top 10, if that's the number you pick, and you do that. Then what you do is that you conduct what I'm going to call a mini interview over the phone. This is really just to qualify people. So if you get on the phone and you discover that they're a total leper, right? Then you can put them in a separate pile. So from there, you might want to wean your shortlist from, if you there were 10 or 15 phone calls you made, you might get that down to 3 to 5 people you actually want to see in person.
Right.
And again, the way you do that is have a criteria. You have killer questions, what I would call killer questions that you're going to ask on the phone. You score people's responses. You score how they conduct themselves on the phone interview. And you take your top 3 or 4 people from that score. So now you've gone from 100 resumes to 10 pre-interviews to 3 to 5 people you want to interview. And you're doing this by scoring. So it just puts a little bit of structure around what's usually an unstructured process.
Right on.
Yep.
All right. So we've done this part of the process. We've whittled it down a little bit, at least anyways. What happens next?
Well, you need to prepare the candidate for the interview, right? So let's say you're going to talk to three of these people. What you need to do is you need to let them know in advance who they're going to see. You're going to know what the process is. If you're going to ask behavioral and situational questions, let them know all that stuff in advance. I would argue you should provide some of the questions you intend to ask in advance. So a lot of recruiters would disagree with that, but I would argue unless you're testing people's ability to think fast, you don't get a lot out of surprising people with questions, right? Again, if you're hiring somebody in medical sciences, for example, you're going to want people that are a little bit more thoughtful and pragmatic. You are going to get a much better idea of their ability if you give them the questions in advance.
All right, cool. So we're preparing ourselves for the interview, but then this suggestion is an interesting one. We want to make sure we spend the right amount of time and provide the right amount of information to help prep the candidate to do actually give you the right kind of information you're looking for.
Yeah, you betcha, right? And it's part and parcel of preparing yourself too. So if we look at preparing yourself for the interview, then you need to remember that both you and the company are also being assessed and evaluated. And people tend to forget this, right?
Especially nowadays, it's a two-way street. They're trying to make sure that this is the right fit for them too. It's not it's that kind of job market where they're assessing you as much as you're assessing them.
Right. So make sure that you're professional and you're respectful, right? Don't keep them waiting for half an hour, you know, out in the hallway, right? Yeah. Read the resume in advance. If you've got 100 resumes for a job, there's no chance you're going to be able to keep this person's resume in your head. Read it right before you go into the interview. It's the least you can do, really, right? Come with a list of your questions. Don't be answering phone calls in the middle of the interview, right?
Excuse me 1 second. I got to take this call.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm really busy right now, right? Sorry, but unless your wife's 11 months pregnant, right, you need to leave your BlackBerry outside during an interview, right? This is an important meeting and treat it as such.
Yeah.
And you want to keep it informal, of course, but also professional. So it's a bit of a striking a balance there.
All right, cool. So let's try and wrap it up with some three things on preparing for the interviews.
1, 2, 3.
Okay. The first one would be is that a great interview is a result of great preparation, right? So this is an expensive and important process. So make sure you take the time to do it well.
Mm-hmm. Number two,
don't wing it, right? And maybe that sounds redundant from number one, but it's amazing how many times people actually improvise their way through interviews, right? They don't come with a list of questions. They haven't read the stuff in advance. They haven't really qualified the candidate as well. They just start talking to people and hope that it all kind of works out.
Right.
Don't wing it. You're going to get a much higher quality outcome if you prepare for these things.
All righty. And the third of the three things.
Yeah. Wean your list down, right? Again, don't interview. Interviewing is hard work. If you do it well, it's time consuming and exhausting. Mm-hmm. Right. So make sure that you think hard about, you only want to interview people that you really think you have a chance of hiring.
Right.
So don't just throw the doors open and say, well, I'm going to interview these 20 people. Use those other techniques we talked about to wean your list down.
All right, cool. There you have it. The three things. And the neat thing about this particular podcast, we've done a fair amount of work on this in our collective histories, Bob. And we have lots of cool, helpful tools back at our website, www.yleapmanager.com. So if you go back there, on there we have some examples of good interview questions, what we feel are good, the killer questions you talked about earlier.
Yep, you bet.
We also have the list of bad questions. Don't ask these ones. So that's some of those, to Bob's point, early in the podcast, speak to some of those topics that are just out of bounds. You can't go down those kind of tracks.
Yeah, they're kind of funny to read through too.
So in terms of the good questions, we have both behavior-based questions, examples of situational-based questions. So go check that out. There's lots of tools in there that will help you, conduct that interview with the right kinds of questions that will hopefully help you make the right kinds of selections.
Yep.
We have that interview scoring sheet that you talked about, the resume interview scoring sheet. It's a big, an Excel spreadsheet where you have the different categories across the top, the things that you're looking for, and you can give them a score of 1 to 5. It'll total up for you in the end and tell you who your top five answers on the board.
Right on. And in related news, Jed, we've also done podcasts on conducting the interview, which we do next week. We've also done ones on onboarding and retention of employees.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So lots of stuff back at the Wiley Manager to check out, including all the other podcasts that Bob just mentioned. Each one of these comes with a cheat sheet, if you will. So for every podcast that we do, we publish one of those, and those are available back at our website. You can pick for a limited time, pick up some of those free management cheat sheets. We have a collection there for you.
Yeah, you betcha. And coming soon on Wiley Manager, we're going to do conducting an interview next week. We're going to do a podcast on attribution theory and on scatter diagrams. So stay
Excellent.
Tuned.
Lots of cool stuff coming up.
See you soon, Jed.
Thanks, Bob. thanks for listening to the Wiley Manager Podcast. If you have some comments or questions about today's show, please let us know at facebook.com/WileyManager.